I'm Mary Traveland with Dixon Brothers in Mesquite.
And James Smith of Dalworth Clean.
I'm Rob Weir with Shades of Green in Frisco.
And Fred Marshall of Advanced Foundation Repair.
You're listening to Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening. Now, once again, here's Neil.
All right, my friends, thank you very, very much. Oh, what a great cast of characters that is, my longtime advertisers. Thank you very much, all of you, and thank you for tuning us in today. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and it's going to be a great gardening week. So let's start that week out right now, and we'll go to Tucker Reed, who is filling in for Jimmy Turner from the Dallas Arboretum. Tucker is one of the horticulture managers. There are two of them on that gigantic property, and a lot of responsibility. He is very, very good. Tucker, good morning.
Good morning.
You're going to be talking about anemones. We don't talk about anemones very often here in Texas, and certainly not in October, almost November. Tell us about this one.
Well, this is actually a perennial, and this is one of my favorite shade perennials.
Mm-hmm.
This perennial blooms every fall. It's just now starting to bloom, so it's almost forgotten about because people are already wrapping up, getting ready for Halloween, and they're going into the holidays. But it's a great thing to look out and see in your garden right now. Mine are blooming in my house. The ones at the Arboretum are blooming like mad. Right now.
Where will we find them, and what does it look like? What does this one look like?
This one's a tall perennial. The foliage is only 12 to 18 inches tall, but when it blooms, it's going to shoot up to 30 and sometimes even 36 inches above the ground. The flowers are going to be an open flower. They come in doubles and whites, singles and doubles, and then they come in whites in a wide variety of pink colors, even almost red. They're so hot pink.
And how do you buy this plant when you go into a nursery or when you buy it online? Are you buying it as a bulb, or are you buying it as a transplant?
I personally like to find it in pots, but that means you have to go to the nursery in the fall.
Oh.
And you're not going to find it in the spring nurseries. If you're looking for this plant, you need to remind yourself, go to the nursery in September or later, and they'll start having it. Because then it's going to be when you're going to see it, when it's actually doing its job, which is blooming in the fall. So.
All right, so we have honorine. Well, you help me, because that appears to be French, and I don't speak French.
It is. The two cultivars that I currently am probably the biggest on are honorine Jauvert, which is a single white flower.
Jauvert, okay.
Yeah, and then the one that we're really hip on, we just put it into the Red Maple Rill, is Whirlwind, which is a double white, and it's showing itself. It's got so many more petals. It's just that much brighter than honorine. Honorine Jauvert's been around for decades. It's been the standalone winner in this group for a long time. Now Whirlwind, with its double set of petals, is coming on, and you can see it from a good distance.
Taking over. We saw them a couple weeks ago when we were at the Chihuly Nights, and they're in the Palmer Ferndale, in the Women's Garden, DeGallier, the Lay Ornamental Gardens, and a Red Maple Rill. I've got to get used to that new abbreviation you give me there. The Red Maple Rill, folks, is an amazing garden because it was created kind of out of thin air. It's just a little corridor that goes down a slope, and how many, 150 red maples, Japanese maples planted in that?
There's probably 200 individual trees and over 100 different varieties and cultivars.
Not exactly thin air, but it's just you have to know where it is to take that entrance, and then when you go down there,
yeah,
you say, oh my goodness. All right, that's at the Dallas Arboretum, and so is the Chihuly exhibit. Tell us the good news from this week.
Well, the good news, I announced on Wednesday, we are extending the Chihuly exhibit through the end of the year, which is pretty exciting. A lot of people who have not seen it yet have another 2 months now to come out and see it.
It would have been going away in just a few days. And so not only can you come see a $20 million worth of outdoor glass exhibit, just beautiful, you also can come see Autumn at the Arboretum. And what is that including?
Autumn in the Arboretum is still going. We still have a ton of pumpkins. I'm not sure we're still at the 50,000 mark, but we still have a ton of pumpkins, squashes, and gourds. We still have the pumpkin village that's nationally recognized, and we still have the things for the kids like the Cinderella carriage and the hay bale maze.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Now, Tucker, I assume that Chihuly at night will be available. I know the tickets for this last week of what was going to be the original run are sold out, but I assume that if people go online, they can begin to buy the tickets for the rest of November and December then, correct?
Yes, and it'll be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday each week through then. And actually, between December 26th and December 31st, it's open every every night for that week.
You all have learned the lesson, haven't you?
People
are going to come, and they always want to wait till the last moment.
Right.
All right. And so all of that is available, as well as information on, well, why don't you tell us about the educational programs you have coming up, because I see one of them is next Saturday.
Yeah, one of them is next Saturday. Actually, it's a trial garden walk. It's with the senior manager of the trial program and research group, Jenny Wegley. She's going to have a walk through the trials and give it a behind-the-scenes and informational little foray about how we do our trials and what we're looking for in those trials. And then the week after, there's a class with Dan Coletti, who is a landscape architect, and he is going to be giving a class on how to garden with native plants and grasses.
All right. All of that information, folks, is on the website at dallasarboretum.org. The education part is there. Chihuly is all over the website. The trial gardens you can learn about also at, what is Jimmy's website? Flameproof Plants?
Flameproofplants.org, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Yeah. And Autumn at the Arboretum, also on the website, dallasarboretum.org. And tell folks the phone number, if you would, for information.
Phone number is 214-515-6500.
All right. And most importantly, Tucker, what is the physical address? How do they find you?
You find us at 8525 Garland Road. We're on the southeast side of White Rock Lake. Take I-30 to Grand Avenue, head north when it turns into Garland Road for us on the left.
Tucker Reed is a real plant person. I think you can get that sense by hearing him or by watching him on Dig In DFW when I've used him on television, when he's offered to make me look better than I deserve to look on television, and by the good information he brings. I really appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you,
Tucker. All right, and that report is sponsored by Encore Electric Service Delivery. Encore Electric safety tips. They have asked me to share some things with you because fall is tree planting time, and before you trim trees or start construction that will bring you or your tools or your shovel within 10 feet of power lines, you need to call Encore, and the toll-free number, I'm going to give you three different phone numbers in this ad, and I'll explain each one of them. To contact Encore, call them toll-free at 888-313-6862. They can help you determine what needs to be done in order to complete your project safely. Now that's 888-313-6862 before you begin to dig or do anything within 10 feet of power lines. Do not work on tree limbs that are in contact with power lines. Tree limbs in contact with high voltage power lines can act as conductors. You could be seriously injured or even killed if contact is made. If a tree is making contact with a power line and causing sparking or fire, that's an emergency. Leave the area immediately. Call 911, the official highest emergency phone number. That's an emergency if you're seeing sparking or fire from wires in contact with trees. Before digging in your yard for shrubs, trees, or fence posts, make sure you know where all underground electric lines are located, and that number to call is 811. That is not an emergency, but it's an alert number so that you will know where the electric utilities are. 811 for that, 911 if you see sparking or a fire, and then if you want to do any kind of construction and you need Encore to stand alongside you, call them toll-free at 888-313-6862. For more information, go to Encore.com, O-N-C-O-R.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Barrett of Arborological Services. Once again, here's our friend, Neil Sperry.
Thank you, Steve, very, very much. And we go back to our phone lines to Rick in Hearst. Rick, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
I have some wax leaf ligustrum hedge, and it's getting very, very tall, and I just wondered how far back I can cut it without killing it.
All right. How tall is it now, and how tall do you want it to be when you're finished?
Well, it's about 8.5, 9 foot tall, and get it down to where I can stand on the ground instead of a big step ladder to get up and trim it. I'm like 4 foot or something like that.
All right. I think it's doable to keep waxleaf ligustrum at 4 to 5 feet tall, and that would work for you. The time to do major pruning, now there's some risk in cutting a plant back by half, which is what you're talking about, Rick. There is some risk that some of the plants in that hedge will be thick enough and crowded together enough that they will damage one another. and that some of those plants may be weak, and when you do that kind of severe pruning, some of them may not survive it and come back. Without seeing, it's kind of hard to tell. The way you would do it, and I would do this in February, I would do it one plant at a time, one branch at a time, with a pruning saw and with lopping shears. And lopping shears on the branches that are thumb size and smaller, and pruning saws if you're up to an inch or so or larger. And try not to leave any stubs. You can reduce the height of a plant pretty dramatically by cutting a branch that's an inch and a half in diameter back flush with another branch or with the trunk of the plant and not leaving a stub. When you leave stubs, you get oddball growth back. So I had a series of photos at my home in Farmers Branch many, many years ago that I used a lot of times showing before and after of pruning waxleaf ligustrum, and you could hardly tell that it had been pruned when I finished, but I was taking a third off, not half. Half is pretty dramatic. Wait till February, because if you were to do it now, you get new growth, and that would be very vulnerable to cold damage. And plus, if you wait till February, you'll be looking at stubble the shortest possible time.
Would it be better to cut them a little bit higher rather than half?
Well, yeah, it'd be better to cut them at 6 feet. Taking it from 8 to 6 is going to be very easy to do. But I'm trying to, they can be kept at 5 feet. I think 4 is maybe pushing your luck a little bit, especially as tall as they have gotten. But at 5 feet, if you wanted to cut them shorter, you ought to cut them 6 inches shorter than you'll be eventually maintaining them. If you wanted to try it at 4 or 4.5 feet, you could do that, and you could still reach them from the ground. If you cut them to 6 feet, you're going to have a hard time trimming them at that point. I was all over the place on the answer, but I think I got the gist of it to you. I hope so.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, but lopping shears and pruning saw, not a chainsaw and not head shears for this trimming job.
Well, they're too big for trimming shears.
Well, lopping shears, the ratcheting lopping shears will cut things as big as broomsticks.
Yeah, well, I got some of them.
Okay, and that's the smaller branches, and then the pruning saw would be for the larger ones. I understand. Yeah. You're going to need at least 3 different kinds of pruning tools. Rick, good luck with it. February's your time. Be looking at it and deciding. Take care. Okay. Thanks for that call. All right, we're going to come back to Craig in Durango. I have never had a call from Durango. I've been to Durango several times, never had a call from there. And let me tell you right now about the offer from Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine. Your time is running out. The office is open until 11 o'clock today. The pre-production offer of my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar is going away. I have turned all of my work in to the artist, and she in turn will turn all of the work into the printer tomorrow. And at some point, the printer will say, all right, how many do you need? And at that point, I have to commit to a press count. When I do commit to that press count, the price goes up, because from that point on, I'm taking a chance on whatever I order. So you can get the full year of Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, featuring the finest garden writers in Texas, our 27th year as a gardening publication, and your copy, when it prints, of my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar, my 30th annual Texas Gardening Calendar. It is going to be the prettiest calendar we've ever published, with more information than you've ever seen in the calendar. It's going to be a wonderful help to you of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. Satisfaction is completely guaranteed with this offer, but the price will go up, so don't delay. You must call before 11 today. $36.95 and $3 postage on the calendar. Call before the price rise. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-GROW. 10,000 words of when to do all those things. 1-800-752-4769.
Now is the perfect time to give your pond that good fall cleaning it needs. If you've not called Creative Water Gardens for your fall pond cleaning appointment, then you need to do so now. If you have trees around your pond, then get the cleaning done after the leaves fall. Give Creative Water Gardens a call at 972-271-1411. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 5, and closed on Sundays and Mondays. For more information, visit their website at creativewatergardens.net. Creative Water Gardens, located at 2125 West Kingsley Road in Garland, just north of 635.
When I got the call 32 years ago about Dalworth Carpet Cleaning, it was at that point wanting to advertise on my radio program and that I would be doing the ads live for them, I thought, I'm not sure I want to do that. We had not had the best experience with a carpet cleaning company before, and then one of the do-it-yourself projects kind of blew up in my face, and that was a mess. And so I thought, I'm not sure I want to go there. And I talked to the owner, the founder, still the top guy, James Smith, on the phone. He said, Neil, we just want to show you what we can do. If you'd give us that, then we'll take it from there. And boy, they did. They are so good. All of this time I've gotten to tell you about Dalworth Clean, all of this time we've used their services, all of this time they have been heroes to so many people. Dalworth Clean, the next best thing to new. Whether it's having the carpet clean like they used to do and always have done, $29 per area when you have five areas or more of carpet deep down Dalworth cleaned, or any of their services they've added along the way, whether it's the cleaning and polishing of stained concrete floors, or tile and grout cleaning, or marble polishing, or whether it's the hardwood floor resurfacing, the messless resurfacing, or oriental rug cleaning, or air duct cleaning. They do all of that. Dalworth Clean. Now they have Dalworth Fine Floors at 8509 Davis in North Richland Hills. For all of the above, including that $29 per area special, five areas or more deep down Dalworth cleaned, one phone number does it all. That's 214-817-METRO-267-8433. And my friends at Dalworth, call tomorrow. They're closed on Sundays. 214-817-267-8433, Dalworth.com.
You can always find a list of my radio advertisers by going to neilsperry.com, then clicking on Neil on the Radio. You'll find sponsors like the Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano, Preston Road, and George Bush 190 in Plano. 1-800-4-BAYLOR. And Arborological Services, the Dallas area number 972-442-1524. Tarrant County area 817-849-1160. On the web, arborological.com.
Fall is the new spring at North Haven Gardens, one of the outstanding garden centers of America, founded in 1951, 9 acres in size at 7700 North Haven Road in North Dallas. This is a glorious garden center. They always have plants that you'll have a very difficult time finding anywhere else in Texas. They specialize in the unusual and the usual. What one thing that they have that is very unusual is the level of their service. It is just the best it gets. And so for excellent color for the shade garden, they recommend that you plant camellias. Camellias bloom through the winter. Right now, North Haven Gardens has large, healthy shrubs in stalk, and all of them have buds on them, and they'll give you the planting suggestions as well. Kumusaka. I don't know all these camellias. I'm going to try my best to give their names. Pearl Maxwell, Tom Knutson, Bella Rosa, Pinkaboo. I like that. Yuletide, I know very well. I love that one. It's single. I like single flowers. And Shishi Geshira, that's a very popular one. These are camellias that will do well for you, and they can help you with all of your needs. North Haven Gardens at 7700 North Haven Road. Beautiful winter color plants as well. They're between Hillcrest and Central Expressway, open 7 days a week. NHG.com, 214-363-5316, North Haven Gardens. We go back to our phones to Craig in Durango, Colorado. I assume it's Colorado, right, Craig?
No, it's Durango, Texas.
Oh, where is that?
Durango, Texas is about 11 miles east of I-35 in between Waco and Temple.
I'm so sorry. I'm a native Texan from College Station, been all through your area, and I didn't realize. Boy, does that change the course of my answer. I'm glad. I feel much more comfortable now. How can I help you?
Well, I recently, about a month ago, planted a prune tree, a plum tree in my backyard.
All right.
And as I was reading through the directions, it said that I needed a pollinator.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to show my ignorance on this. I'm not exactly sure what that means and how to do it.
All right. Some fruit and nut trees are self-fertile, and meaning that they that when bees come to them, the pollen from that variety will pollinate that variety. Many, many, many fruit trees, the pollen from a given variety is sterile with that same variety, and you have to have a second variety to pollinate properly. It's always better, if in doubt, to have two varieties that bloom at the same time. Not two trees of the same variety, but two different, totally different varieties. What do you remember what variety of plum you bought?
No, you know, I don't. I'm driving down the highway, heading
sure.
back to Durango right now.
All right.
So
the
can I get another tree of that same type and a different variety?
There are three that are well adapted to your part of the Southwest, actually to most of Texas. The three plums that are most highly recommended, one of them is called Bruce, that was developed in Grayson County by Mr. Bruce about 100 years ago in his nursery. Another is Ozark Premier from Missouri. And Ozark Premier is probably the ugliest plum in the world and the sweetest. It's just wonderful. And then the third that is the outstanding pollinator for all plums, including itself, is Methley, M-E-T-H-L-E-Y. Methley plums are, if you only have one plant or room for one plum tree, that's the one to plant because it will pollinate itself, whereas the others do not. Craig, the good news for you is that you probably have enough other plums within half a mile of your house in other people's yards, and plus Mexican plum, the native plum, is probably through your area, and those also will serve as pollinators, but it's a good idea to have that second variety.
Okay, I might check and go get another variety. I have plenty of room back there.
If you end up not being able to figure out what that first variety is, if you planted a Methley, you're covered both ways because it would pollinate the one you have, whether it is or isn't a Methley plum. So that's.
I still have the label that came with it.
Okay.
At the house.
So all right. Well, those are the three that are most highly recommended. So
we got room out there. We have more cows than people in Durango.
Maybe why I haven't heard of you. I am so glad you called. I loved it. Thank you so much. Take care. All righty, we have, you know what, Greg from Richardson, please hang with me through the newscast. I want to spend more than the minute and a half I'll have if I were to take your call now. Let me go early to the break, and then I'll help you. 4 to 5 top considerations when selecting a new landscape plant. I've been thinking about how I want to answer that question, and I'm hoping he can wait on me because it'll be fun to talk about that. I've never had that question before. I want to tell you once again about the Southern Living Plants right now and invite you to give them a try. They are sponsoring our home landscape school, and they have a lot of great plants in their collection. They have done so much to introduce new plants. They are doing... They are the introduction wing of a great research project. The three Southern Living Plant Collection Nandinas that they offer have brighter, richer color than traditional Nandinas. They have it all year long. The light, feathery foliage is fuller. They don't grow into a stiff bunch of sticks, as some Nandinas are known to do. And then they have two Loropetalums that we need to tell you about, Purple Pixie and Purple Diamond Loropetalums. They grow to manageable sizes, unlike some Loropetalums or fringe flowers that you may have grown in the past that took over the whole house. These are compact. In fact, Purple Pixie is a unique dwarf weeping Loropetalum. It is perfect in containers or as a ground cover. It's an interesting and wonderful little plant. And then you have a Purple Diamond that can be maintained at 4 to 5 feet. Now, both of these plants will need to be planted, both of the Loropetalums, in the same kind of conditions that you would give azaleas. Morning sun, afternoon shade, and pure organic matter. They do need slightly acidic soil, and we don't have that in much of the Metroplex. Purple Pixie and Purple Diamond Loropetalum, Southern Living Plant Collection Nandinas. These are great plants. For more information on decorating, planting, and care tips, go to southernlivingplants.com.
The 24-hour newsroom, the 24-hour traffic watch, and the weather from meteorologist Brad Barton. It's all here. News Talk 820 AM, 96.7 FM. WBAP.
Neil Sperry's all new home landscape school for 2013. What is all new about this? Neil, you've been doing this for 18 years. I know we have. And it always sells out, by the way. The difference with our home landscape school, I'm ramping up my involvement with this, and I'll be teaching a lot more of it this time around. And I'll be joined by Stephen Chambly from Shandor Gardens in Weatherford and by Jimmy Turner from the Dallas Arboretum. We will teach you principles of good design, the best trees and shrubs for North Texas, and all of Texas for that matter, annual and perennial color, and how to use it effectively. Terrific Texas turf grass, how to have a beautiful lawn as the foundation for your landscape. How to have effective entryways and front gardens, and how to have fun patios and backyards. Also, how to draw all of this to scale. In fact, we will not only teach you all day long, but we also, and that's on Saturday, January 26, all day long in Plano, but then you'll have a one-on-one consultation for 30 minutes with a landscaping professional on either February 9 or 10, Saturday or Sunday, your choice of dates. You'll leave with a working drawing of your landscape project and the knowledge of how to design additional projects in the future. All of that, including the materials that you'll need, just $179, and that's for one person, or $219 for two people from the same household. One consultation, one set of materials per household, please. Now, that is the price until just a few days from now, and then the price will go up. So, there's a call to action. Get signed up for it. Sign up before it's sold out. Sign up before the price rise by calling the same number you called to get the finale deal on my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar. That phone number until 11 today is 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-4769. Time now to check in with WBAP's 24/7 newsroom. Once again, Jerry Overton. Jerry?
Thank you, Neil. We've got sunny skies, 49 degrees at 10:32. I'm Jerry Overton in the 24/7 newsroom. The trains are shutting down in New York. We'll get details after your first weather and traffic. And we'll start with the WBAP Weather in Touch forecast. Sunny skies. Look for a high of 64 today. Winds out of the north 5 to 10. Clear, maybe some patchy frost in outlying areas tonight, 39 for the low. Tomorrow, up to 69 degrees under sunny skies, and more sun on Tuesday with a high of 74. It is sunny, 48 degrees in Arlington, 47 degrees at Fort Worth Meacham, 49 degrees at DFW Airport, and 47 degrees at Love Field. And now a check of the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch.
Dallas County, watch for ongoing road work and possible lane closures westbound 635 LBJ Freeway between 75 Central and Montford. And as you head through the mid-cities, Tarrant County, ongoing road work along westbound 183 at Highway 121. With the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch, I'm Blaine Brooks.
New York City closing down its mass transit system for a second year in a row due to inclement weather. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo explaining the subways cannot withstand the potential flooding that Hurricane Sandy will cause.
Trains are designed to deal with a lot of tough duty. They are not intended to be submerged.
Hurricane Sandy predicted to bring severe rain and wind to the area and knock out power to millions on the East Coast. Caribbean still suffering from the effects of Hurricane Sandy. Officials say storm-related death toll has risen to 65. Haiti accounting for more than 50 of those. And Dallas police say a homeowner who walked in on three men burglarizing her home, including one with a handgun, opened fire on the suspects, killing one. Police say she shot two of the three suspects in the early morning hours yesterday. Police say 19-year-old Larry Williams ran away, collapsed behind a neighbor's house. He was taken to the hospital where he died. Other suspects also ran. They were caught by police. Again, the high today, 64. It is 49 degrees at DFW Airport. From the WBAP 24/7 newsroom, I'm Jerry Overton. More of Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening next on WBAP.
So the CIA knew the attack was happening in Benghazi, and three times they were told to not respond to the attacks. Coming up on the Monday Morning Ben Ferguson Show, we'll have this breaking news. The CIA did, in fact, ask to go in three times, and they were told to stand down. That coming up on the Ben Ferguson Show from 9 to 11 a.m. on News Talk 820 a.m. and 96.7 FM WBAP.
Drive to Twin Oaks Nursery and enjoy the beauty of fall. From colorful mums, ornamental peppers, to pumpkins, hay bales, corn stalks, and all the extras to create that special fall look. Now is the perfect time to plant, and Twin Oaks Nursery is fully stocked with fresh fruit trees, beautiful shrubs, and trees. Join them for their huge annual shrub sale in September. Visit Twin Oaks Nursery, just 30 miles north of McKinney off Highway 75 in Denison, Texas. Their expert staff will be happy to assist you. Visit their website at twinoaksonline.com for more information.
Busy Bees Pest Control is truly a full-service pest control company for residential, commercial, and multifamily properties serving the entire Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Their full pest control service can handle all forms of pest control from bees and bed bugs to animal trapping and bird control and much more. Visit their website, busybees.com, to learn more about bed bug detecting dogs Alfie and Trapper. Busy Bees Pest Control. See how good a service can be. For more information, call toll-free at 1-800-INSECTS or visit them at busybees.com. That's BIZZYBEES.com.
There is no company any better than Busy Bees. Thank you very much. Let me tell you about Dalworth Crawl Space, and as I did a couple of hours ago, I want to kind of explain what this is about. It's an unusual-sounding name for a company, Dalworth Crawl Space. It sounds like it could be a daycare center or something, and that is not the case. This is a part of Dalworth Restoration, and by the way, Dalworth Restoration, if you ever have smoke or fire damage or water damage, that's the company to call, and the same everything I'm going to give you fits for that as well. They have opened up a new division that deals with the part of your house that is between the floor and the soil. If there's air involved in that, in other words, pier and beam house or a basement or anything else, Dalworth Crawl Space is the company, the part of the company you want to get involved with. If you have dirt crawl spaces, they cost more to heat and cool. They can cause structural damage. They may be even be affecting your health. Dalworth Crawl Space has the solution to a dirty crawl space or basement. It's clean space encapsulation. A clean space liner is used to isolate the home from the earth completely and permanently. Similar to a pool liner, it is 7 layers of a blend of polyethylene and polyester cord reinforcement. The liner is installed and sealed along the walls and the flooring. It is sealed around other objects such as pipes, columns, and piers. You say, I don't know what you're talking about, Neil. I don't picture that in my mind. And I say, all right, go to your computer. DalworthRestoration.com. DalworthRestoration.com. Click on Clean Space Encapsulation or Dalworth Crawl Space, and you'll see the most incredible array of photos to show you what they're going to do. 214 or 817, then 267-8433. DalworthRestoration.com. 214 or 817, 267-8433.
Hi, I'm Fred Marshall from Advanced Foundation Repair. We're proud to have been a part of Neil Sperry's radio program since 1995. And now, once again, here's Neil.
Thank you, Fred, very much. Very, very much. Music, finish, now. All right. And we've had a changing of the guards that I failed to note earlier. Randy Williams is off to some family things. And Andrew Gentry has joined us as my producer of my program right now. Mike Sutton, hey, Mike's still in place in there answering the phones. And speaking of phones, let me give you the number because we have time for several more calls before we run out of time today. 800-288-WBAP. 800-288-9227. Call right now, though, or you'll be too late. 800-288-WBAP. Greg in Richardson has been waiting very patiently. Thank you, Greg. How can I help you? It looks like a really interesting question.
Morning, Neil. Thank you. This is a question that comes up often when I'm talking with my friends. We try to analyze how we should go about. And I said, I bet I know who knows.
All right. Tell me what your question is.
When we're looking at putting in a perennial plant, and we're speaking perennials, we're always trying to decide what order should we consider, the you know, like the beauty of what we're looking for, then the size, or should we, you know, and then the soil, the watering. Is there a specific order that you think of when you're looking at a plant?
All right, and so perennials, you're talking about perennial flowers and other color plants that will come back year after year. That's what my assignment is, right?
That, exactly.
All right. First of all, if it is not adapted to our area, it's gone. Why bother even trying it if it's not going to grow here? So, for example, I would put in that category I'm going to bring the wrath down on me, but most peonies would fall in that category for me. I'm not going to try them again. They just were too much trouble. So they go away, and so do some of the other perennials. So I got to have something adapted, and there are scores of wonderfully adapted perennials. Second would be... Second consideration would be bloom time, because I don't want everything to bloom at the same time. I've got to have a sequence. A perennial garden requires a great deal of planning so that you have a constant evolution of color through the year. So I've got to know the bloom time. And concurrent with that would be color. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, I never thought of that sequence of blooming. And I'm complaining to myself because I look at things, they come about in a very short period of time, and then all of a sudden there's a lull.
That's exactly right. And a really good perennial garden will have 20 or 30 kinds of perennials in it, and there will always be something in bloom. It will never be just eye-popping, oh my gosh, I've got to get the glasses. This is blinding me. It's so colorful. It will always be beautiful. It will never be as dazzling as an entire bed of begonias or of impatiens or of, you know, petunias in the wintertime. But a perennial garden has its own eclectic beauty because it's always evolving and changing, and there's something about it. It's kind of like birds at a bird feeder, always moving. There's always something of interest there. So concurrent with the bloom time, so that you have that sequence of flowering, would be the color, because you may change the color scheme of your perennial room in your garden, your perennial garden, from season to season. You might have blues and yellows and pinks in the spring, and you might want purples and lavenders in the summer to cool it down, and then the rich fall colors in autumn. So you have to know when the things bloom. You don't want to have a yellow garden out there with that purple thing over there blooming in a strange time of year. So you have to think about that. Those things go together, the bloom time and the color. And then height is obviously important, but that's not my first consideration, because I can arrange it front or back of the bed depending on the height. You have to have some shrubs, some woody evergreen shrubs in there as the bones of the garden. That's critical. Soil preparation is not a critical issue to me because I can change the soil for perennials. If you were going to ask me that question about woody shrubs, I would make a different response, because when you get to a 20-foot tall shrub or a 15-foot tall shrub, probably you're not going to be able to replace enough soil to justify that. You can with small shrubs. In the case of perennials, all bets are off. You can replace all of the soil if you have to. So that's and something that I almost never do here is promote my own products in my answers. I do in the ad time, but not in like this time. But I'm going to tell you that our perennial chart, our perennial poster that we did, that's 15 by 30 inches on heavy cardstock with 120 of the best perennials, gives you everything that I've just categorized. When does it bloom? What colors does it come in? Sun or shade? Is it flowers? Is it foliage color? Is it how high would I rate it? All of that and any special comments. Jimmy Turner at the Dallas Arboretum helped me develop that. And it's available through my office or through my website at neilsperry.com. It might help you a great deal. It's $10 or $12 or whatever it is. I mention it so seldom I can't remember. I think it's $10 plus $2 postage. But anyway, that would be a big help to you, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, you went all around what my thinking process was and brought up four ideas that I never thought of. So that's what I'm looking for. We're trying to put in our neighborhood community consistently growing plants that give us an ongoing look, and I never thought of the bloom time, and that's beautiful. So
it's very critical, and nothing looks better than a perennial when it's in bloom for 2 or 3 weeks. Nothing looks worse than a bed that has too many of the same kind of daylily bed. I love daylilies, but a perennial garden ought to have 5 daylilies and 5 iris, not 100 daylilies. because when the daylilies are through blooming in July, there's nothing there. And that's where you want the hardy mallows to kick in and bloom. And then you want your fall bulbs like fall crocus and like the fall aster that Steve Huddleston talked about last hour to bloom at this time. And so it's that a perennial garden is much more labor intensive and mentally intensive than an annual garden is.
One last thing in your perennial chart, does it indicate the lighting needs as well as water
needs?
Yes,
sun or shade. It will tell you that. It sure does.
Okay, that's you hit the jackpot.
All right, I'm glad you called. Thank you, Greg. All right, let's go to Ona in Hearst, who also has waited a long time, and then we'll take our last break. Ona, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help?
Well, I have a trailing lantana in my front yard. And that thing has spread out almost 6 feet across.
Okay.
And I've had people ask me how they could get a start from it, and I have no idea.
All right. Lantanas are very easy to root from cuttings, especially the trailing types. They root best from when the cuttings are from very strongly growing new shoots, and you're not going to have very many of those after a 40 degree night or 35 degree night.
Yeah.
So it may be a little harder to get them to root at this time of year than it would be in June, but they root from cuttings fairly easily. And
okay.
What color is this?
It's kind of a lavender color.
All right, that's trailing lavender lantana. That's let's see, I can't remember what it is now. It used to be Lantana celloiana, and they changed the I think it's Monovidensis now, I believe is the species name. That one is very easy to find in nurseries in the spring, and so you if they need to get a start, then they could root the cuttings from that point on. There is an improved selection of it that blooms better and has a little bit darker purple flower, but that's what that is, and it roots easily from cuttings. My all-time record with cuttings was in a greenhouse mist propagation bench when I worked at Texas A&M on Coit Road. I took cuttings on Friday afternoon and stuck them in the mist bench, and they were well rooted Monday morning when I came back in. I've never seen any. Yeah, that was in June. I've never seen anything root that fast. So anyway,
well,
oh, no, I appreciate.
I cut it back, and you know, after it dies out.
Yeah.
I cut it back to the ground, and this year it's bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah, it will. That one is a little bit tender in the winter, so it doesn't hurt to mulch over it if it gets really cold.
Yeah.
I got to run. I really appreciate your call. Thanks for being so patient with me. Thank you. All right, this is my time to tell you now. 11 o'clock is when our office closes. I don't know when we're going to have to pull the plug on the pre-production offer on my calendar. As I've been saying this morning, I have finished my work. All the proofreading is done. A graphic designer will turn our final version into the artist probably overnight tonight or very first thing in the morning. And then it is up to the printer to say when we have to give them a print count, etc. And when that happens, price goes up. So don't delay any longer. If you want to save the most on my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar, the calendar that has between 10 and 12,000 words, hundreds of bullets on the grid page of each month telling you what needs to be planted, pruned, fertilized, and sprayed in your landscape and garden in that month. It's going to be the prettiest calendar we've ever published, my 30th annual. You get the calendar with all of that information at a 38% savings, but that's only until we go to press with the calendar, then the price goes up. Call before 11 today. You buy it with the magazine, a subscription to Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, our 27th year with the magazine, my 30th annual calendar. You get all of that for $36.95, and that's where you get that 38% savings on the calendar. $3 postage charge on the calendar, and call before the price goes up. It will never come back down to $36.95 again. Satisfaction is completely guaranteed, or all of your money is refunded. Call before 11, 1-800-752-GROW. Just a few minutes left, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769.
Since 1983, the experts at WhizQ Stone have been a leader across the Metroplex turning landscape dreams into reality. With 22 acres of beautiful natural stones such as flagstone, decorative cobblestone, boulders, river rock, and gravel, the skilled professionals at WhizQ Stone can help you have the outdoor living area you've always wanted. Visit their outside showroom of extensive displays, which will inspire and help you create and design your personal outdoor paradise. With many different water features and sitting areas, they've used every element in hardscapes and plantings to show the beauty of all these products and how they can be used in your home. Visit the experts at WhizQ at their display gardens located at 4501 East Loop 820 South in Fort Worth. For more information, visit their website at whiz-q.com. That's whiz-q.com. Or call 817-429-0822. WhizQ Stone, leaders in hardscape and landscaping supplies, helping to build the lifestyle of your dreams.
Hi, I'm Lynn Sperry, a member of the McKinney ISD Board of Trustees. Substance abuse can hit any family. It's a disease that knows no boundaries. Serenity High in McKinney offers hope. It offers a chance at completing high school in a sober environment. We think it's the only public recovery high school in America. It's a small and nurturing school. It's self-paced and each program is tailored to the specific student. Serenity High in McKinney is for students who have completed drug and alcohol treatment and who have been advised not to go back to their old schools. Serenity High in McKinney is a part of the McKinney School District, but it's open to students from all partnering districts. For more information, go to serenityhigh.org or call Principal Julie at 469-302-7830. That's Serenity High in McKinney.
Proud of my wife. Thank you very much, Lynn. And what a wonderful school. Let me tell you about Advanced Foundation Repair. Now, I mentioned earlier this morning, after a rejoinder from Fred Marshall, the owner, founder of Advanced Foundation Repair, it was 17 years ago, right about this time of year, that Fred was wanting to begin advertising on my program. And I, through my sales rep and through his sales contact, I kept saying I need to see some references, and he kept giving me more, and I kept calling because I don't know the foundation business. I still don't. I know kind of what they do, but if I were to sign on their crew, I'd be the worst employee ever. And every reference that I got from him, I called 15 people and went out to a couple of houses at the homeowner's invitation. And they love this guy. They love what the company did for their home. And you know what? Now that I've been doing ads for him for 17 years, he's become very patient with me. And he smiles when I tell that story about it, making him wait for 6 weeks to start advertising. I said, boy, you're tough. I said, well, I put my reputation on these ads. And I have had glowing comments from listeners ever since about the work that Advanced Foundation Repair did, about the affordability. They are very affordably priced. They guarantee their work for the lifetime of the house. Nobody else did that at the time that they began doing that. They're just the best, and people tell me that, and they told me that when I called 17 years ago. FoundationRepairs.com is the website, FoundationRepairs.com, and the phone number is 214-333-0003. The home inspection is absolutely free. 214-333-0003, FoundationRepairs.com, Advanced Foundation Repair. Ryan in Mansfield, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help?
I have a reddish fungus on the bottom of a black walnut tree. It's growing right at the base up against the ground and the trunk. It's been there for, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years, and I can't really figure out what it is. I haven't done a whole lot of research, honestly, but...
Ryan, what those are, in almost all cases, is saprophytic funguses, as opposed to parasitic funguses. A parasite would be something that was a disease. It would be something that got into the plant and ate its way through the plant. Heaven knows we have plenty of parasitic plant diseases, from black spot to brown patch to everything else. In this case, this is a saprophyte. It's a mushroom or a toadstool, and it's very common that they will grow near the ground line around trees where a tree has been nicked by a trimmer or a lawnmower wheel or rodent chewing on the bark or something. And this saprophytic fungus is just growing on that decaying organic matter. It normally does not indicate a problem. It's not the original source of the problem, but it does suggest that there may be some decay there. You might want to have somebody look at it, or you might want to look at it, maybe carve it away and just see what's going on in the trunk. You want to make sure that the trunk of the tree isn't decaying around you. But this is not causing the problem. It's just there because it's been invited there.
So do you mean I should actually dig down underneath the...
It wouldn't hurt to look and just see if there's any pulpy wood down in the trunk. If there is, you may want to get an arborist there to make sure the tree is sound. I have 11 acres where I live, and we had across the creek and way back in the woods, about a 20-inch diameter pecan tree fall about a week ago, and I'm realizing there's a band of live tissue around the outside of that tree. There was nothing left of that tree. I mean, it's in a forest, and I hadn't even noticed how bad it was. But anyway, I would do a little exploring. Don't be carving around in there too much.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your call. Let me go to Mark in Sulphur Springs. Mark, I have about a minute. I want to get to you and to Scott in Hurst also. How may I help you?
Yeah, Neil, I heard last week where you were talking about Asian jasmine did not subsurface root, and I've put some out to spread about a foot apart, but I've mulched in between them. Do I need to remove that mulch where the runners can contact the soil, or will it?
No, it will not root into the ground. It'll go across the top of the mulch. What kind of mulch did you put in?
Pine bark.
Pine bark, it'll go right. That's what I do. The pine bark will help keep the weeds out. It won't stop the weeds, but it'll help with the weeds until the Asian jasmine covers. The first year, you get to hand pull the weeds pretty much. The second year, it will be a solid cover, and you'll have far fewer. The third year, it'll build up its thickness, and there won't be any weeds.
Okay.
Mulch is fine.
That's what I need to know.
That mulch is fine. You're doing fine. Thanks for the call. Scott in Hurst, our last call for this day. How can I help you?
Yes, thank you, Neil, for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 10-foot-long bed of asparagus. I want to move it, transplant it. When's the best time to do that?
Best time to move asparagus would be in the middle of the winter. The first week or so of January would be ideal. It starts to grow pretty early, so don't get very far past mid-January. First couple weeks of January.
Great. That's all I need to know.
I'm glad you called. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right.
To Randy Williams for the first 2 hours, Andrew Gentry for this hour, and to Mike Sutton for all 3 hours of screening of my calls, I thank you all very much. Jerry Overton, great newscast, and I hope you have a wonderful week. Please do join me on Facebook. It's NEILSPERRY. We have a little more than 14,000 people on our Facebook page now, and a lot of fun questions get answered there by a lot of people. I answer those I can, and others help out. So that's fun. NeilSperry.com is the website. To our grandson, Nolan Edison Sperry, who was 1 year old yesterday. Happy birthday, kid. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Until next week, happy gardening.